DKTRS from 4 till 5 p.m.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worry on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street. Can't you hear a pitter-pat? And that happy tune is your step. Life can be so sweet on the sunny side of the street. I used to walk in the shade with those blues on parade. But I'm not afraid. This rover.
Thank God it's Friday!
Crossed over. If I never have a cent, I'll be rich as Rockefeller. Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of the street.
Welcome to the Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon here on the Big 550 KTRS. I am Paul Harris, your 20% host, giving 100% of the effort.
And star.
That's Dan Strauss. That's Ian Geis. Colin will be here to do movie stuff later on. Also on the show today, Jeff Smith, the former Missouri State Senator who went to prison for campaign finance violations and has written a book about his experience there called Mr. Smith Goes to Prison. He's going to join us here in about 20 minutes or so. I'm curious how a 5'6", 120-pound guy did in prison.
Was this a federal or state?
Federal campaign finance violation. He was running for Congress against Russ Carnahan back in 2004.
Wow.
So he'll talk about that. So Dan said, and star, because I just showed them a little snippet of this movie that I've been shamelessly mentioning for...
I don't think you've mentioned it that much.
No. Well, probably 60 or 70,000 times.
I went down to New Orleans to shoot the scene a year and a half ago, and the movie's still not out. They are going to be showing. They showed it at the Sundance Film Festival earlier this year. Next week, they're showing it at the Toronto Film Festival. And 3 weeks from today, it opens up in St. Louis. It's called Mississippi Grind. And it's not as huge a role as Dan had in Up in the Air.
No, it's not.
No, no, not at all.
So?
Actually, it is bigger.
Yeah.
But yeah, we heard it's not out yet, but you finally got to see it.
Yes, and the way I got to see it was by going to Frank's house.
Yeah.
Because he has DirecTV.
DirecTV customer.
And they have it on demand. So if you want to pay $13 to see it on your TV now, you can if you have DirecTV.
You got some good FaceTime there with your bow tie and everything.
Not my bow tie. Not my bow tie. I've never owned a bow tie in my life.
I wouldn't think so.
And I've told you guys before, if you see me in a tie of any kind, it is appropriate to ask who died or who's getting married.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only time you're going to see me. But in this movie, they I wore my own... I think that's my own shirt and underwear, but they put me in the suit and tie to shoot this scene.
Now, was the girl that was in that scene, yeah, was she supposed to be your girlfriend or wife?
No. The actress's name is Anna Lee Tipton, and she and Sienna Miller are both in this in small roles. The movie stars Ryan Reynolds and Ben Mendelsohn as two guys who are gamblers who are working their way down from Iowa through St. Louis, all the way down to Tunica, Mississippi, and then over to New Orleans, where they're headed for a big poker game. The game that's in the clip that I'm in takes place on a riverboat that supposedly is going up and down the Mississippi here in St. Louis. And, you know, we used to have boats that did that.
We did.
Yes.
Back in the 90s. But
Casino Queen did it. The Alton Bell did it.
Admiral did it.
No, the Admiral never
cruised.
It was the one on the Missouri Station casinos.
It was the president that did it.
Right, the president did it. And Station Casinos in St. Charles, which is now Ameristar, cruised on the Missouri. So I'm in a scene that takes place on there, and I play a hand where I get involved with Ben Mendelsohn, the co-star of the movie, and essentially us playing this huge hand. And I don't get to say a word because, as I've explained many times before, you talk, they got to pay you more.
Yes. Yep.
You don't talk, they pay $108 and change.
Yeah. And you sat there and looked very stoic, but very poker-like. Mm-hmm. I mean, you had the poker face going.
Well,
and
I kind of know how to do that.
It's not your first rodeo.
I know.
I put in enough hours every week doing that that I should pretty much have it down.
Yeah, you should have. You didn't get a word to speak, but you should have worked something in where you win the hand or something. You don't even win.
Hey,
hand.
Spoiler alert.
I'm sorry, spoiler alert. I shouldn't.
Or coughed.
At one point, one of the directors, directed by this couple, Ryan Fleck and Anna Boden, and at one point, Ryan said to me, okay, we're going to set up for the next take here. Paul, did you say anything in that last take? I said, no, I did not. I would not. Are you kidding? I know the rule. don't want to spoil it. So I can't say anything else about it because it's not officially embargoed. But did Frank have anything to say about it when he was here
about
earlier this
the,
week? About the movie?
I don't think so. I don't think he gave it too much to spoil it. Yeah, he didn't want to.
Oh, no, he didn't say anything about spoiling it or anything like that. He thought it was really cool that how much FaceTime you got in this movie and the bow tie and everything.
It's about 2.5 minutes long, the scene that I'm in.
Yeah.
So, as I said, you'll get to see my face much larger than the TV in Frank's living room when it hits big screens 3 weeks from today.
We're all going to have to go, and then we're going to have a red carpet and have you out there to promote it when it opens here in St. Louis.
Okay, you arrange that, and I'll be there.
All right.
As long as I don't have to set anything up.
Okay.
I'm wearing a bow tie, for goodness sake.
I know.
No. That's it.
Yeah.
Speaking of showbiz-related stuff, I see that the Rams are not going to get blacked out on TV this year. Which is interesting, because they're not going to sell out this year.
They already said that there's like 5,600 tickets available or something like that for this Sunday's
Sunday
game.
Yeah. You would think that old Rams fans would be nostalgic, considering it's their last home opener.
Yeah.
At least I think it is.
I do too.
Yeah, I saw something floating around online, though. I didn't verify it at all, so take this whatever for its worth. But the Rams aren't actually releasing all the tickets available to be sold. So there's almost like a conspiracy theory.
Why wouldn't they do that?
Because they want to. They want to see it'll make more of a case when the opening game starts and there's 20,000 empty seats.
Oh, and then they can say, "Look, St. Louis didn't support us." Yeah, I can see that.
That would be coming.
I would not put it past
Kroenke. No, absolutely,
point,
I wouldn't put it past them.
You can't put anything past that.
I wouldn't put it past Kroenke at all.
Yeah.
I find it interesting that Kroenke is willing to go out to L.A. and spend his own money and build a stadium out there and not put one penny into anything here.
Yeah. But Channel 2 doesn't have to worry about the games being blacked out. You know, the NFL has a blackout policy where if you don't sell enough tickets, I think it used to be 95%, then they lowered it to 90%, and I don't think the Rams were getting 90% every game the last couple of years, so they must have had it even lower than that. But they're all going to be on TV this year, no matter how low ticket sales are. And they did the same thing for the Chargers and the Raiders.
Really?
Because San Diego and Oakland are trying to hold on to their teams, but the Chargers and Raiders want to both move to Los Angeles, as does the Rams owner Stan Kroenke.
So you have three teams that don't want to be in their cities. Why would their cities go to support them?
Well, that's exactly the point. That's exactly what the NFL said here. Well, you know, let's not deny people a chance to see the games just because they don't show up. And under the blackout rule, it's entirely possible that all eight home games this year would not sell out enough for any of us to see it on TV, but the NFL waived that, so you can do that, because they get TV revenue.
Anticipating, yes.
Yeah, they want the TV revenue from Fox's television broadcast, and you know that Channel 2 would not like to lose that on Sunday afternoons.
No, and I understand the people that are saying, we've got to get down there, and we have to support the team, and we have to show them that we want to be. We want them here.
Yeah, don't the last 19 years count?
That matters. None of that matters, Stan Kroenke.
Right.
He wants out of here.
Nate Silver, the famous statistician, does so well with the elections. He ran the numbers on all 32 teams in the NFL this year. Says the Rams have only a 21% chance of getting to the playoffs this season.
That's pretty high.
That's going to get more butts in the seats, isn't it?
That's pretty high.
I would say 4-1. You're right.
Yeah.
Should be a lot higher than that. Oh, wait. Their chances do go up if someone else buys tickets for them to get to a playoff game.
Oh.
Yeah, so apparently it's not just the team actually playing in the playoffs, it's the team attending a playoff game.
There you go.
Wow.
How about the Chargers? Are they supposed to be good this year? Or the Raiders?
They're in the same division. Both those teams are in the same division as the Broncos.
Oh, well.
Who are favored as, you know, a lock to win the AFC West. Well, we'll see.
Hey, but they still have to play the games, Paul.
Yeah, they do. Well, that, you know who proved that today? Serena Williams. I was watching this match earlier. It just ended about 2 hours ago. Serena lost.
I missed that.
Why are you clapping?
I don't like Serena.
What do you have against her?
Nothing. I have never been a fan of the Williams sisters.
Sounds racist to me.
Well, yeah, he said nothing. But then just not a fan, so he couldn't identify it.
Yeah,
but,
I guess it is.
Very vague.
I guess it is. No, I've
Dan
never,
with his microaggressions again.
I have never been a fan of the Williams sisters, and then when Serena went off on that that line judge at the U.S. Open years ago, that really kind of sealed the deal for me.
I think she's phenomenal. I was really pulling for her, and you know, no doubt that she is, if not the most dominant female athlete of all time, she's in the discussion of the top three or four.
Oh, I definitely think so. And I think both of the Williams sisters are good. And I remember when Venus stormed onto the scene, and then all of a sudden Serena just took over everything.
Yeah.
So, no, I believe that they're really good. I would take them on my team. If I had a tennis team, I would take both of them. But
you don't play fantasy tennis?
No. No.
By the way, for all of you who bet on Roberta Vinci, 300-1 dog going into this. Now she's in the finals against another Italian.
What was she ranked?
She was not ranked. She was not seeded in this tournament.
She wasn't ranked at all?
No.
Oh, my goodness.
No, and the other upset earlier today was the number two woman in the world, Halep, lost to the other Italian player, Flavia Panetta, who was ranked seeded 26th.
Wow.
So, you know, we're talking about how Channel 2 is happy to be having the Rams games on because it's guaranteed ratings.
Yeah.
You want to guarantee no ratings for the U.S. Open women's final?
Mm-hmm.
Have two Italian women play each other and no Williams sisters anywhere near it.
Yeah, you're right.
That'll do it.
What about the men?
The men play later on today. You still have Djokovic and Wawrinka and Federer and Cilic.
Ooh.
Those are your final four.
I really like Federer and I like Djokovic a lot.
Yeah.
Djokovic is really, really funny. A funny guy.
Yeah, he is. He's got a great sense of humor. Yeah. I like this other Swiss guy, Stan Wawrinka, too. And the only reason I like him is because my wife likes him, and I like things to go well inside my house when tennis is on.
Oh, yes. Does your wife like tennis as well?
Oh, she's the tennis family. Mm-hmm. She was playing it before I was, and she still plays it. I can't because of my injuries, but, 8 weeks of the year during the Australian Open, the French Open, Wimbledon, and the U.S. Open, when the man in the family says to the woman in the family, honey, will you turn off ESPN so we can eat?
Yeah.
That's it in my household.
Back to the NFL for a minute. It was nice to see the Patriots get started off on the right cheating foot
last night. Yeah. The NFL, by the way, says the Patriots are not to blame for the headset thing last night where Mike Tomlin and the Steelers couldn't hear each other out on the field.
They were getting the Patriots radio broadcast interference in their headsets.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And the NFL says, no, it's not their fault. We provide the equipment. Yeah, you may provide the equipment, but they have the setup there. And it's not the first time that they've complained about this. ESPN had that report a couple of days ago. Don Van Atta Jr. and I can't remember the other reporter who did a great job digging up all this stuff about the Patriots, about how this has been a problem for opposing teams there for years. And if the NFL really cared about it, they would have gone to Robert Kraft and said, look, you're going to have that fixed by the time this season starts. You're not going to have any excuses because we have 30 other stadiums around the country where that does not become a problem. I've never heard of an opposing team coming to town here and saying, oh, the Dome? Oh, that's terrible. We can never hear our coaches, and we can't talk to each other.
We always hear John Carney. Okay, go flank left on.
Hey, crew, what's going on?
What is that?
That would be great on Sunday if Russell Wilson were here in the car.
Tell me what
show.
Kind of sauce that is on the chicken again.
Hey, Russell, you should have been here on Restaurant Tuesday.
Yeah.
That'll be classic. Yeah.
I don't get that, but could the announcers have kissed Tom Brady's butt anymore? Because they've talked about it. Well, just wait till Tom Brady comes out of that tunnel. And this crowd is going to
I think they knew it was
erupt.
A big storyline last
it's
night.
It's going to be crazy.
Yeah, by the way, good prediction. It's Foxborough, the home of the Patriots. You think they might cheer Tom Brady?
Yeah.
Hello, Dr. Duh.
I know.
All of that stuff being said, I do have to say, this combination, and we're not a sports show, so I don't know why we're getting so deeply into this.
I don't know.
but I'm a football guy, you know, and I'm excited that the season's starting up here. This combination of Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski, why don't teams send in a nickel package just to cover Gronkowski? How can this guy get open 8 yards down the seam so often, over and over and over again, as the season goes along?
It's, yeah.
Remarkable.
He is unstoppable.
Yeah. It's,
athleticism and height, and yeah, you just can't. You can't put a linebacker on them because they're too slow, and then the cornerbacks have no chance.
And as soon as Brady sees that there is a linebacker on him, that's where the ball's going.
Yes.
Every single time. All right, let's break, and when we come back, we'll talk about life in prison for a former state senator named Jeff Smith here on the Big 550 KTRS.
Meet me.
And let's get a look at traffic right now. Here's Frank Ladd.
Or not.
Frank?
Or not. Yeah, doesn't sound like he's there yet.
Well, we'll check back with him right after these important words.
News, weather, and traffic to get you to and from work.
The Big 550.
KTRS.
Depend on it.
The third week in September marks the start of the National Assisted Living Week, and Brooking Park in Chesterfield is celebrating with a taste of Brooking Park Open House on Wednesday, September 16th from 2 until 4 p.m. Brooking Park's executive chefs will serve up their favorite fall foods and offer samples of great meals that residents get to enjoy every day. Everyone who attends will receive a free pie to take home and also be entered in a drawing for a free monthly stay. So bring mom, dad, and the whole family to see why Brooking Park offers the best option in assisted living and memory care. Call 314-576-5545 or visit online at brookingpark.com to save your place at the Taste of Brooking Park Open House on September 16th. Brooking Park is an equal opportunity senior community sponsored by St. Andrews Resources for Senior System. Visit brookingpark.com or call 314-576-5545 today.
Meet me.
All right, we found Frank Ladd, and interestingly enough, he was stuck in traffic. Hi, Frank.
Hey, it's always good when the traffic reporter gets stuck in traffic, isn't it?
Go ahead, fill us in.
Southbound 170 already heavy between Ladue and Highway 64. Seeing that pocket of volume as well, eastbound on Highway 64 from before 170 up through Big Bend. Westbound on 64, you're seeing volume passing Forest Park as well between the Science Center and McCausland. Currently incident-free out on the road, starting to build some volume, though, on southbound 270, Page, down through Olive, and then again between 64 and Doherty Ferry. This update brought to you by the Exogen Temporal Scanner Thermometer. The Exogen Temporal Scanner Thermometer, doctor recommended, and backed by more medical studies than any other thermometer. Get yours at Walgreens or other fine retailers today. From the KTRS Traffic Center.
Be honest, will owning a bigger TV help you get ahead in life? Will another pair of shoes make you a better person? Probably not. But what if you could speak another language? If acquiring a new language excites you more than acquiring more stuff, then wait until you hear this. As part of its biggest language learning event in history, Rosetta Stone is giving away demos of its powerful language learning software absolutely free. For your free demo, call 1-800-514-1933. And Rosetta Stone has made language learning more convenient than ever. Learn on your computer or iPad, then practice on the go with your smartphone or MP3 player without ever opening a book or memorizing boring vocabulary again. Do you want more stuff, or do you want a language that will last a lifetime? After all, it's all about priorities. To try a free demo of this powerful language learning software, call 1-800-514-1933. Again, get your free demo now. 1-800-514-1933. That's 1-800-514-1933. Be honest. Will owning a bigger TV help you get ahead in life? Will another pair of shoes make you a better person? Probably not. But what if you could speak another language? If acquiring a new language excites you more than acquiring more stuff, then wait until you hear this. As part of its biggest language learning event in history, Rosetta Stone is giving away demos of its powerful language learning software absolutely free. For your free demo, call 1-800-514-1933. And Rosetta Stone has made language learning more convenient than ever. Learn on your computer or iPad, then practice on the go with your smartphone or MP3 player without ever opening a book or memorizing boring vocabulary again. Do you want more stuff, or do you want a language that will last a lifetime? After all, it's all about priorities. To try a free demo of this powerful language learning software, call 1-800-514-1933. Again, get your free demo now. 1-800-514-1933. That's 1-800-514-1933.
Frederick Roofing, wherever you live, from Chesterfield to Crestwood, Frontenac to Ferguson, Limay to Ladue, town and country and more. Warsome Woods to Winsville, the one you know. Frederick Roofing, wherever you go. For a whole new roof, Frederick Roofing. Frederick Roofing, wherever you live, from Olivet to Ellisville to Pear and Jennings, O'Fallon to Overland, wherever you live, Maryland Heights to Manchester, the name you know, Frederick Roofing, wherever you go. For a hole in your roof, for a whole new roof, Frederick Roofing.
St. Louis, Missouri, 314-645-2000.
As a business owner, you know it's critical to surround yourself with people who have the knowledge you need. That's why you should interview a region's business banker. In fact, you should grill them with the tough questions. For example, what process do you use to understand how money flows through my business? Will you be able to offer solutions that maximize my cash flow? Do you have good ideas about how I can expedite collections? How can you help me find that 25th hour in a day? These are all very valid questions when you're looking for somebody to help your business thrive today and down the road. We come prepared. And because no interview candidate worth their salt would miss the chance to ask a few smart questions too, that's exactly what we'll do. So get together with a region's business banker to see how you click. Call 1-800-833-9776. That's 1-800-833-9776. Or visit regions.com/interview to get started. Regions Bank, member FDIC.
Are you ready to experience cleaning made easy? Stop by one of the five St. Louis area Oreck stores and check out their selection of lightweight vacuums, handheld models, steam mops, and air purifiers. Their experts are ready to help with all your cleaning needs. You won't find this kind of personal service anywhere else. Now, for a limited time, pick up the Oreck XL Graphite for only $249.99. That's a $100 savings off the regular price. So hurry into one of the five area Oreck stores today.
Take your fantasy draft to Buffalo Wild Wings, the only place as obsessed with football as you are. Wall-to-wall TVs, great food, and excellent drinks only at B-Dubs. Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports.
Hi, this is Jeff Lapidus, the retirement coach. If you want to make smart choices about your retirement planning, listen to my show, Straight Talk on Retirement, this Saturday at 10 a.m. here on the Big 550 KTRS.
Hi, I'm Dr. Dan Gagliotti.
And I'm Dr. Nick Barnes.
Tune in to the Maximize Living Show, Saturday at 3 p.m. and Sunday at 7 a.m. on the Big 550 KTRS.
It's the Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon on the Big 550 KTRS. I am Paul Harris. Ian and Dan are here with me. Thanks for following us on Twitter at 550 KTRS. You can also follow me at Paul Harris Show. Jeff Smith used to be a Missouri state senator, and at one point in his career tried to run for Congress of the United States. And that's when things went really bad, not just because he lost to Russ Carnahan in 2004, but because of things that took place during that campaign that ended up with him being convicted of a campaign finance law violation and going to spend 10 months in a federal prison in a really, really bad part of Kentucky, which I know may be redundant. Jeff is now a professor at the New School in New York, and he's running a prison entrepreneurship program, and he's still involved here in St. Louis in all sorts of operations, and has written about his experiences in prison in a book called Mr. Smith Goes to Prison. Jeff, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, Paul. I appreciate it.
It's nice to talk to you again. After you got out, you came on the show, and we actually spent an hour talking about some of your experiences. And looking through here, I see a couple of the stories that I remembered talking to you about a few years ago. But let's start with the very most important thing I can think of for a guy who's 5'6 and 120 pounds who goes to prison. Did you befriend the biggest guys in the prison on day one?
It's funny because the prison itself facilitated those friendships for me inadvertently. One guy who was like the captain at the prison, he kind of had an issue with me. And a week in, they put me at the food warehouse loading dock. So my job was to unload about 35 to 40,000 pounds of food every day to feed a few thousand prisoners and guards on the compound. And as part of that job, the six other guys in that job were like 230, 250, 260, 280, 305, and 350.
Wow.
So I kind of threw without even any maneuvering of my own, those were the guys that I spent all day with every day for most of my bid and became my friends and allies. And actually one of them saved me from one of the hairier situations that I encountered.
All right, go ahead. I want to hear that story.
Well, there was a guy named Big C who was, just kind of a big, big old Kentucky redneck, and he kind of took a shine to me. He had had a boyfriend on the compound for a while, and that guy had left, maybe gone home or been transferred to another prison. And so he started coming to every one of my basketball games that I played in and cheering me on very ostentatiously in the crowd and coming to my softball games and cheering me on, and then starting to find me on the prison yard. And then one day he came to me at lunch after I'd played in a basketball game the night before and was telling me, "Senator, man, I love the way you play out there. You're the quickest guy out there. I just love watching you play." And then one of the guys who I worked with at the warehouse told him in no uncertain terms that I was not interested and he'd better get away from the table immediately.
Uh-huh.
And he did. And then he didn't bother me again after that. So,
good move befriending those big guys, and thank you to the prison warden for the job, right?
Yeah, he didn't know it at the time. He thought he was messing with me because everyone else weighed two or three times what I weighed, and the food was came in 80-pound boxes or 100-pound bags of rice and flour and sugar. But even though it was very difficult work, I'm so thankful that I ended up there.
You mentioned bad. Coach teams, but when you went off to prison and you're playing against guys who are double your weight, what's that like to be on the court?
Well, have you ever played, Paul?
Yes, but I'm a large person, Jeff.
Right. I mean, so prison basketball is exactly like playing tackle football. You know? I mean, that's the only way I can explain it. So, yeah, I put on about 30 pounds of muscle while I was locked up.
Yeah.
I had to be able to play basketball in that way.
Yeah.
Not allowed to call fouls.
I was just going to ask, ever call a foul on anybody in the prison?
I was going to say, basketball is kind of a contact sport anyway, because a lot of people don't realize the elbows flying and everything else. But I can imagine in prison, it's more of a contact sport.
It definitely is. But anyone who even suggests that he was fouled on the way to the basket, they're probably not going to get the call, because everyone else is just going to ignore them or make fun of them.
Yep.
But B, it can actually be, it can get you kicked out of a game. I don't even know if I saw it more than one or two times. Somebody even tried to call a foul and was just mocked for doing so. So it's just part of the culture. Is the game is rough, And if you can't take it, then you shouldn't play.
Yeah. Now that goes to another point I want to bring up here, which is, and I've talked to other people who have done time in the Hooskow, in the Gray Bar Hotel, in the Slammer, and they've all told me you got to know who to go along with, even if you don't want to go along with them. And I'm not talking about it in a sexual way. I'm talking about a go along to get along kind of way. But you write in the book that you were caught between these prisoners who at one point wanted you to do something illegal, including smuggling working on, and the corrections officers who, of course, don't want any of that. And how do you walk that thin line?
Well, the difficulty that I encountered was about a week into my work at the warehouse, another inmate came to me and said that the prisoners I worked with on the warehouse crew were getting ready to plant raw meat in my freezer jacket and kind of frame me. Getting caught with raw meat is worse than stealing anything else because of the threat of E. coli that could, you know, kill many people on the prison yard.
Yep.
It's considered one of the most serious violations of prison rules, stealing raw meat. And so, basically, I had a choice. Trying to frame, he told me, look, they're getting ready to frame you. You need to start stealing because they're all stealing, and they think that since you're not, you're going to rat them out for stealing.
Mm.
And so they're going to plant this raw meat in your freezer jacket. So you better start stealing ASAP. So I had to try to figure out if that guy was, like, actually my friend or if he was just trying to get me to start stealing so then framed for that. I decided that I weighed the pros and cons. I realized that getting caught with raw meat would get me thrown in isolation and probably into a high-security prison. And so I decided to start stealing, like, fruit and those sorts of things. I wouldn't sell them back on the yard like the other members of the crew did, but I did use them to kind of build strategic alliances.
Strategic alliances. All right, but let's get to the other part of that equation, which is the corrections officers. What was your view of them before you went in? What was it while you were in there? And what is it now?
You know, before I went in, I just viewed them the same way I viewed cops. No better, no worse. When I was in there, I learned only two teams. Prison is very racially segregated. You know, you have the blacks, the whites, and the Mexicans. But there's really only two teams. There's the prisoners and there's the COs. And you cannot be seen like having a cordial conversation with the COs because then you're going to be assumed to be a snitch. And the only thing lower than a snitch in prison is a pedophile. And so you don't want to be seen, you know, in making friends with them. So that's not a hard thing because you don't really want to be friends with them because some of them are kind of sadistic. They come in sometimes and sweep through all the cells, throwing everybody's belongings out, some in the trash, some just strewn across the floor. They suspected I was working on a book since I was taking notes. On napkins or little note pieces of notepaper, and so I got my cell tossed, you know, several times.
Wait a second, that's against the rules to write things down?
No, it's not against the rules. But what you're not quite maybe grasping is like once the gates slam, there really is no rules except whatever they want there to be at that point.
Yeah,
there's a sort of lawlessness that prevails, and sometimes you wake up and the guy next to you who'd been in the cell next to you, you just never see him again. He just disappeared, and he's in the shoe. He's in special housing unit, solitary confinement. You don't know why. Nobody can say why, but you never see him again. So as of the brutalization that happens, I didn't see guards, you know, randomly beating up prisoners, but I definitely saw a lot of, you know, cruel and inhuman behavior.
Talking with Jeff Smith, his book is called Mr. Smith Goes to Prison, What My Year Behind Bars Taught Me About America's Prison Crisis. When you call it a prison crisis, you probably have very different views about prison reform than you did before you went in. But you also used to be a politician, and you know that not much gets done in this department because no politician wants to be seen as soft on crime, right?
I think that's generally true. I don't think anybody's ever lost an election for being too tough on crime or too tough on prisoners. But you know, when I was in politics, I'm not one of those guys like Bernie Kerik, you know, that's like, oh, I used to be like the toughest, baddest dude and, you know, really hard on criminals. And now I went to prison and I've seen the light. Cause I was actually, I think, pretty progressive on those issues while I was in the Senate. I worked on criminal justice reform issues. I authored and ended up passing a bill that changed a lot of felonies for men who were struggling to pay child support, changing them from felonies to misdemeanors, because I thought we were just locking up way too many people for nonviolent offenses and crippling their ability to get jobs, which would facilitate their ability to actually pay child support. So I worked on some of these issues, and I had a little, like, some modicum of familiarity, but I definitely, my views were reinforced, and I became much more, you know, even more dramatically in favor of major prison reforms after spending most of 2010 there.
Yeah. You know, we call them corrections officers because they're part of the correctional facility, which means that they're supposed to help correct something that was wrong. I'm curious if you saw any effort while you were in prison to help guys do better once they get out.
So I'll give you that answer with a couple examples. Number one, the entire time I was there, there was one GED course, and then there was one, like, two-week course in hydroponics, which is how to grow tomatoes in water. So I didn't see a lot of effort put into actually rehabilitating prisoners or teaching them some skill they would need to succeed. The prison had a mandatory, like, computer skills class that everyone leaving had to take. What that consisted of was a dozen or so prisoners getting sent to a room and sat in front of computer terminals. They showed us how to turn the computer on, then they told us to sit still and shut up, and then 40 minutes later, they told us to turn the computer off.
Wow, that's quite a class.
Quite a class, yeah. So, you know, those were, you know, and the nutrition class upon that you take when you're leaving was similar. They just showed you, like, a Bojangles, a Burger King, and a McDonald's menu with the caloric counts, and told you, you know, take a look at this and try to eat nutritiously when you get out. That lasted about 10 minutes. So there was no discernible interest or effort at rehabilitation, but there was a lot of, what I would call, you know, sort of dehumanization, which is just CEOs constantly mocking and shouting it at prisoners, saying things to prisoners who were leaving, like, hey, we'll see you in 6 months, you jackass. It's guys like you that make sure that I'll always have a job.
Well, that's what I want to. That's what I want to ask you. Do you think the system is set up to discourage recidivism, to discourage these guys from going out into the world and stop creating problems, or do you think it's set up to encourage them to come back in there and keep the prison system in this country going? And in fact, in many places, we now have private prisons, you know, putting people in jail for profit.
And sometimes private prisons where the companies have signed contracts with the county or with the state, ensuring that like 90 or 95% of all beds are filled. So the county or the state is actually like obligated to make sure there's X number of prisoners, and that's probably pretty terrible public policy to allow that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I write in the book that a lot of people say the prison system is broken because 2 out of 3 people reoffend. I would argue that it may be a very well-oiled machine. Ensuring that a lot of people continue having jobs and a lot of vendors continue profiting.
At a huge cost to taxpayers.
A massive cost to taxpayers. It costs, you know, about $31,000 a year to lock someone up on average. With 2 out, you know, and you know, they say, in talking about recidivism, you know, if you think about all the obstacles, 9 out of every 10 employers perform background checks. 4 out of every 5 landlords perform background checks. And so, just being able to, like, find a job, you know, since a majority of those employers will not hire someone who has a criminal background, and a majority of landlords will not rent to someone. You know, how do you even basics of, like, getting a decent job and a place to live when you have no skills, you have no references, you have no way to even learn how to point and click if you've been locked up for more than 15 years, which a lot of these guys had. You don't even know how to use the internet to find a job.
And so
with
Jeff,
all these obstacles in place,
yeah,
the recidivism rate doesn't surprise me at all.
And so did you know inmates who wanted to stay in prison because they would be worse off outside?
I did. And they don't say that. you wouldn't, no one says that, but I did see a guy named Roscoe, who I think I mentioned in the book, who he like taunted COs and like got into it with a CO maybe a week before he was about to leave. He'd been locked up so long that I think he was just overwhelmed by the notion of trying to make it on his own on the outside. There's a scene in Shawshank Redemption, I think, that kind of resembles the psychology, but it's very sad that a lot of people are overwhelmed by the choices that they'd have in society and the responsibilities that they would have to try to make a living when they know that their odds are against them. And so some find it more comfortable to stay where they are. And this guy who taunted the guards about a week out and got himself thrown back in the shoe, it looked almost as if he didn't want to go home.
Yeah, you're talking about Brooks, the character played by James Whitmore in the movie. I wasn't going to ask you a Shawshank question, but since you brought it up, did you run into a lot of guys like Red, the character played by Morgan Freeman, who can get whatever you want anytime you want it?
Yeah. My celly, his nickname was Red because he had freckles, you know, black guy with freckles who kind of resembled Morgan Freeman. And yeah, this other guy, this guy named Dread, because he had dreadlocks, he could get pretty much anything he wanted. And frankly, those of us in the warehouse could get a lot of things because we worked off the compound, you know, so we actually dealt with people in the outside world. And so there were guys who I worked with who had the ability to get their hands on a lot of stuff.
Wow. One last thing I've got to ask you about before you go. I mentioned at the top of this interview that you are now running a prison entrepreneurship program. Does that mean you want to teach guys in prison to be entrepreneurs, or you ran into guys in prison who already are entrepreneurs, just black market guys?
Well, first of all, to clarify, I'm not running the program, but I'm on the board of the nonprofit that runs the program. It's called the Prison Entrepreneurship Program, and it's amazing. It operates out of two prisons, state prisons in Texas. They teach about an 8-month-long Baylor University certified MBA level curriculum to current prisoners. And the program culminates in a Shark Tank like competition where prisoners get in front of hundreds of executives from all over the world and they pitch their business idea after they've written a full length business plan over the course of those 8 months. It's an amazing program. The recidivism rate for graduates over the past decade since the program's inception is just 6%. So it's just less than 1/10 of the national recidivism rate. Mm. And also it's already produced several multi-million dollar a year revenue producing businesses. So yeah, the reason I got involved with this is because I saw such incredible entrepreneurial talent inside the prison. These guys had all run successful drug businesses, and there's not a single business concept that you'd learn at Wharton or Harvard Business School that you couldn't learn in prison.
Well, Jeff, it's a pleasure talking to you because you have such great stories to share and because you're a teacher yourself and you understand the value of ideas and passing them along. But this is the only interview I've ever done that has referenced both Shawshank and Shark Tank.
Yeah.
The book is called Mr. Smith Goes to Prison, What My Year Behind Bars Taught Me About America's Prison Crisis. It's available now. And this is the author right here, Jeff Smith. A pleasure talking to you again.
Paul, before I leave you, I'll just leave you with one last thing.
Okay.
One thing I did not do in prison was to get in the poker game. You know why?
Well, I have an idea why.
Because I didn't want to lose money. But I definitely didn't want to win because that can be really dangerous.
Jeff and I used to play poker together on occasion. That's why he brings it up. Great to talk to you, my friend. Appreciate your time today.
Thanks for having me on. See you guys.
This is the Big 550 KTRS. Meet me.
All right, let's get a look at traffic now. Here's Frank Ladd.
Well, we're going to an accident now. Northbound on 170, just south of Highway 270, blocking the right lane and right shoulder. That has you backed up to... just north of Highway 70, southbound 170. Already very heavy stop-and-go stretches. Olive down through 64, 64 westbound. You're on the brakes now. Science Center out to about Big Bend. Then you're on the brakes again from Clayton Worsen out to an accident near Mason Road that has the right lane, right shoulder block. Pocket of volume southbound on 270 this afternoon, south of Highway 70 and stretches down through Ladue Road. Then you're on the brakes again near Manchester. South of there, pretty good run through Doherty Ferry. Eastbound on 64, seeing some volume start to stack up headed towards the Poplar Street Bridge. Those normal delays are starting to build westbound on Highway 44 through the depressed section between the Stan Musial Veterans Memorial Bridge and the Poplar Street Bridge. And working with an accident now, northbound 141, reported with injuries at Olive. This update brought to you by Dave Sinclair Lincoln St. Peter's. Dave Sinclair Lincoln St. Peter's will host free prostate screenings with SSM Health for men 50 to 69 with no history of prostate cancer September 15th from 4 to 7. Get screened to get pizza from Papa John's. I'm Frank Ladd in the KTRS Traffic Center.
The Tigers play here on KTRS.
To the 20, to the 10, to the house!
I'm Mike Kelly, the voice of the Tigers. Missouri plays its first road game of the season Saturday evening. Gary Pinkel's Tigers make their first ever visit to Jonesboro, Arkansas to face Arkansas State at 6 p.m. Join Howard Richards, Chris Gervino, and me. Our Tiger Network coverage begins at 4, right here on the Big 550.
Touchdown, Missouri!
KTRS.
We are Mizzou.
All right, listen up, because this is the most important thing you're going to hear all day. What if I said you could make money flipping houses without any cash, credit, or manual labor? And what if I said you could do it part-time from the comfort of your home? Sound unflippin' believable? Hi, I'm Preston Ealy, and I'm going to prove it by sending you a free copy of my smash hit-selling book, How to Get Rich in Real Estate. It sells online for $19.95, but I'm giving away 5,000 free copies this week. To get one before they're gone, call 1-800-319-5269. I used to be so broke, I had my electricity shut off 9 times. But I figured out a simple way to make money flipping houses without even breaking a sweat. Now I'm living the good life, and so should you. Listen, if you're sick and tired of stressing about money, this book could change your life. Hands down, it's the fastest, easiest way to get started in real estate. Let me prove it. Call right now to find out how to get your free book. When they're gone, they're gone. Call 1-800-319-5269. 1-800-319-5269.
There's a big red barn where you save green. Norm's Barn and Barn. On discount windows, doors, and things. Norm's Barn and Barn.
Hi, I'm Norm Wilkie. Come see my new selection of Amish cabinetry made by my good Amish friends at Countrywood Products. We now stock 5 styles of cabinetry for you to choose from.
When you need to save on discount windows, doors, and cabinetry, come to Norm's Bargain Barn. With locations in Shiloh and Fenton at the bottom of Gravois Bluffs, visit normsbargainbarn.com.
That's normsbargainbarn.com.
How many companies can trace their roots back to the 1904 World's Fair in Forest Park? Renoco Coffee can, and our headquarters and roasting plant are still located in the heart of St. Louis. We have grown with this city, and today, with thousands of customers in the region, our passion